Okay, now we get to part D, which is the permanent repository for the chart that you see, the two charts that you see here. The top one is the stock market stockcharts.com presentation of the McClellan oscillator. The bottom chart is my own chart. This one has a much longer time span to it, and you can usually when it's been turned into a PDF file, you can just scroll back and forth, so that's very convenient. The two charts are very closely related. They both use the same equations, which are long-term versus short-term oscillators. It's a difference between the two, but the upper one, which the oscillator is dollar sign MY NY MOT. Looks at breadth data, so the net issues for the day is what goes into the equations, and the one below, it's the same set of equations, but they put the net volume in, and because we do a net because we're in the volume business for the cash buildup ideas, that's what I chose out of the family devised by the McClellans. Important thing about the presentation on the upper chart, which was what we're going to concentrate on, is the accumulation pattern, which I discovered as soon as I found T's. I found out that I had to figure out where the turn was coming into the center post of the T, and that's defined as an accumulation pattern on the theory that big money is blunting the downside momentum. And so at the bottom of the chart, you see these green arrows coming up from the oversold condition. That is, the blue line is neutral, and so you're always looking for rising bottoms in the oversold condition, and you see that there's a number of them. And these eventually lead to breakouts, and the breakouts are identified by the vertical black lines. And there's a special case of the blue vertical line, and the frequency with which these breakouts occur is basically the cyclicality that we've been talking about. However, the cyclicality is defined by these rising bottoms pattern breakouts. An accumulation pattern, as defined by myself, is somewhat tricky because it involves rising bottoms on the oscillator while the market is still weak. So it's basically a divergence. Over on the left-hand side of the chart, I show in red a red rising bottoms pattern in the volume oscillator, in the advanced decline in the McClellan oscillator. Okay, and you look, if you follow the line up and you look at the corresponding time period for the S&P, which is the upper plot here, you see it was also rising. That's not a divergence. Now, if you want to see what a good example of an accumulation pattern is, you move down to the June period of this year, and it says best example of a T-theory accumulation. There you see a rising green rising bottoms pattern. At the same time, when you look above, you see that the S&P 500 was in a decline phase. That is a divergence, and then that is an accumulation pattern. So some people think that every time you see a little rising bottoms pattern, that that's an accumulation pattern. It's not, but it could be a turn up, but it's not an accumulation pattern. When you restrict the definition to the divergence area, that's the criteria and so forth, you get these vertical lines. And these vertical lines tend to be the cycles we were talking about, or they're the center post of the T's. And in the divergence area, you would like to see the market actually decline, but flat bottoms is okay. A flat bottom with a rising bottom pattern is still a divergence. It's okay. It's not the best kind. The best kind is the green example that I gave, where you but sometimes that gets hit so hard that you have to make a second one. This is a case where you get getting accumulation pattern on the run within an uptrend, presumably because the Federal Reserve is just pushing money into the market, and whether that money is coming in or not, people believe that the Federal Reserve is going to eventually win. So you're getting people to become very enthusiastic. A particularly interesting aspect of the cycles that we have here is as we come through the pattern, starting with the example, which would be the March low, you see that you're starting to get the spacings that are typical of what is claimed to be the nominal cycle, but they start to shrink a little bit, and you get to number two bottom, then you get to number three bottom, then you get to number four turning point. And then what I did was I noticed a very interesting property in which if you were looking at that pattern, you would think that the oversold condition at what I called 5A, which is the blue line with the question mark, would be the next low. And then you would continue on to 6, and then you would continue on to 7. I had noted that in my volume oscillator pattern, that if you just look at the oscillator, you can see that the 5A low is the oversold condition. However, the bottoms pattern going in there is declining. So the prices are declining, but the momentum is measured by the oscillator is also declining. So it's not a divergence. So that's not the accumulation pattern. You have to wait until the market goes to new lows, and then you pick up the example of the green example here, where you have an upside. So what I decided to do was to just put down the actual low is 5B. Then you see that 5B produces a rally, and then you get a pullback. But if it's an accumulation, sometimes you just end up making bigger accumulation patterns. And so because you're in a very forceful downtrend, momentum can cause you for these relapses. But if you don't break you always remember where the last accumulation pattern occurred, and it's dangerous if you, for example, if you break below the number four position, that's bad. If you want to resurrect it, you can do it, but you have to go through the accumulation patterns all over again, and come out of it. You can get to number six. You can see the small rising bottoms pattern that occurred during the decline in the S&P. So you can pick up another one. The big question that's going to come up after you finish all of this is that the best strategy is to just lay and watch these things go by on the assumption that an accumulation pattern will turn up before the market. That's probably like 95% true. It's always possible that you can turn up in a selling climax, but they're very rare. So if you want to make a business out of this, what you do is you plot this indicator and you plot the S&P 500 above it, and you look for the divergences, as I've shown. It's basically a pattern recognition problem, and you need to have lots of history. You'd actually like to push this back for 4 or 5 years and go back and look at them. I did that study in the 80s and the 90s, and I found out that it was a little bit clearer if I used the advanced decline oscillator, which we're not showing today. And I really wanted to have the oscillator that particular period in a very dynamic market. If you look at the advanced decline oscillator, you'll get a better picture on big accumulation patterns. It's a slower moving average, but either my volume oscillator down below or this one here will take care of the most of the refining the process where you try to look for these apparently semi-periodic type cycles. I think that you can you'll find that this is the this is probably the key thing that you want to do when I start doing my tutorials, which I'm going to do next year, starting next year. And so this will become the first topic, and each week I will have this chart developed to a further degree. And Christina sent me a very nice one. There's a lot of things you can do using the stock charts program, where you do annotations. In other words, you draw these things in, and then they stay with the chart. So that when you pull up the chart with the new data on it, that you still get all the stuff off. I have somebody that's working on mine. We're doing the same thing as how do you make these lines appear, and so forth. You'll notice that in this chart we have you're having a breakout. This chart was as of the close prior to Friday. The Dow was up 40 points. It's getting ready to break out, and it's gonna go up. The only thing you really have to do is make sure that as you as you come up that you see there's a descending tops trend line, which says possible cash buildup line. And on Wednesday, I put the update, and it said that it's headed up on the basis that you had completed an accumulation pattern. So one of the comments was, why don't you wait till you confirm the T, which basically you can only do by breaking that green downward pointing trend line. The answer is that about the last thing you ever want to do in using this indicator is to wait till the rest of the world finds out that you've broken it, you made a breakout and so forth. So the point is, this is what you watch. And you have to be fairly conscientious of it. And the only way to be conscientious is to keep a long history of what is an accumulation pattern and what isn't an accumulation pattern. And so that's what we're going to do. And that's going to be my first topic in the tutorials. And I will put the tutorials, I will start posting it before I go to my foundation site and work that over. I will put the tutorials in the E section. And the E section will all put updates in if I want to, or I put tutorials where I want to, and because they're going to stay there. It's a tutorial, it'll stay there anyway. Now, the only other thing that I wanted to pass on to you here is that you notice that when I drew down this possible cash buildup line, it presumably it's going to start from here, and it's going to give you an equal time projection going out, which is very likely going to project a rally that goes across the next cycle low. William sent me, told me his history in following this sort of a cycle. And, if you get enough history, you can kind of follow it, except for this thing with the 5A and the 5B, plus the fact that it gets modified and goes, a little bit one way or the other. So we'll do that sort of stuff where you say that the spacing, what is the spacing, what's the average spacing between these accumulation patterns, which would be the numbered areas, and you're going to come out and you're going to say, well, the next one should be due according to the statistics at a certain point. In other words, it could be as early as a short distance, a short time span, or it could be as long as one of the longer ones. And then the question is, in my opinion anyways, you don't want to draw a T. You never want to draw a T that goes across, that spans too long a time. This possible cash buildup line is a bad idea because you're going to project it across and you're going to go into another low before you get to the end point of that T. One of the rules we use is not to cross over T's, and I think that the other rule is that you don't want to cross over these cycle lows, because what'll happen is you'll encounter you're going to make a projection that crosses a known problem area, and you don't want to do that. So in the volume oscillator down below, what I've done is I've said okay, so there's a T there, and he says, but I'm going to take the cash buildup line as starting basically in the peak in the September month, not going back into the July month. It's possible it could be true, but the problem is that's a risky venture. In the end, what you're going to do is you're going to look at the money flow indicators. So we'll just make one quick comment on that. What you're looking for here is a breakout that next week sometime, and then you're going to start watching the money flow to see when it's going to make a peak in momentum. And then you're going to go back and you're going to have to say, we now know that the rule is that you start the money flow T at the earliest low. And you're going to get someplace, and it could be in January. That's what I said in the update, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's just wherever it is. And then you take that time and that becomes the midpoint of the rally. And then you go back up and then you look at that against the T that I'm drawing in the volume oscillator, but I've shortened it up, and see how those two come out together, and then hopefully at that point you're going to get the idea that that could be an important top, because the 4-year cycle will then have gone through 2 years from the early March low, but we have the gold T going into the June time period, so maybe the next cycle low. you know, by extrapolation here, will give you another point that you can get some kind of a rally out of, and you just wait around for the accumulation pattern, as it's been defined here, to tell you that it has arrived. Okay, so that's pretty much our presentation today. Wednesday, we're just trying to find out whether we can confirm the T, but it's a foregone conclusion. This is the precursor to the formation of a T or an uptrend, whichever way you want to state it. Thanks for checking in, and thank you for all the comments that I got because a lot of these things are coming together, and this should be a very good topic going forward. It will always be in the D section because there are other things to talk about in the bigger picture. Thanks again, and we'll be back with a Wednesday update, and then full presentation next Sunday. Bye bye.